Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text Number 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gunairadama Sankhya. Mahatmyam Tasya Suchyate. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Yasya Naisargiki Rati. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. To his one verse, I think that was probably not read, was not put on the board because there's no commentary, so I'll just read that also before I read the commentary. Yam sadugata sadasi ripavo pisura nipa pratimanam prakurvanti kim utanye bhavadrisha. In any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthir, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. Purport. In his prayers to the 10 incarnations, Jayadeva Goswami says, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of Lord Nrisimha, who is Keshava, Krishna himself. Therefore, when this verse says, Vasudeve Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Nrisimhadev was attachment for Krishna, Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is described as a great Mahatma, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavamam prapajyante Vasudeva savamiti sa Mahatma sudulabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. A great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, is a great soul very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna will be explained in the next verse. Krishna graha grihitatma. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyananti Marandasya. So in these verses, Prahlad Maharaj is being established as a very great devotee of the Lord and very dear to the Lord. And because of his unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Lord. In the previous verse, it states that whenever there are discourses about saints and devotees, everyone would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. Even It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya would always hear the stories of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. He heard it, I think, at least 100 times. It's described from Gadadhar. So can imagine the Supreme Lord Himself relishing hearing at least 100 times about Prahlad Maharaj. There obviously must be some evidence in his life which attracted the mind of the Lord. Here it also states that because of the attachment that Prahlad manifested right from his very birth, it was natural because of his previous devotional service. Of course, we know that devotional service Prahlad Maharaj achieved was within the womb by hearing Narada Muni's recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. But also it's interesting to note that Srila Jiva Goswami describes in his Bhakti Sandarbha Prahlad Maharaj's identity in a former life and how he actually achieved the position as Prahlad Maharaj. He gives it as an example of Sarup Siddhi Bhakti, where he describes the different types of devotional service. And Prahlad Maharaj, in a form of life, he was a young Brahmin boy who got involved in some bad association. And actually, he became entangled with a prostitute. And it's described that he had an argument with his prostitute. And because of that argument, he fasted all day and stayed up all night. And it just so happened that day was Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And because of that fasting, there's different types of Sarup Siddhi Bhakti. Srila Jiva Goswami describes this Akaitava and Kaitava. One with an ulterior motive and then one without an ulterior motive. And in his former life, there was no ulterior motive. He was just got in an argument and happened to fast on that auspicious day. And he stayed up all night and fully observed, without knowledge, Nrisimha Chaturdasi. Jiva Goswami gives other examples. He gives Prahlad Maharaj as an example. I think he also gives the example of the hawk that was chased by a dog. And it's just so the dog was chasing the hawk, and it just so happens by running, trying to get away from the dog, the hawk circumambulated the temple 3 times and was finally caught. And by his circumambulation of the temple 3 times, that hawk achieved Vaikuntha in his next life. So, anyways, the point is that he had some previous contact with devotional service. Then he got the opportunity to obtain the association of Narada Muni while within the womb of his mother and hear Narada Muni's instructions, and then took his birth as a pure devotee of the Lord. And of course, Jiva Goswami cites these examples to describe the power of bhakti. How potent it is that by coming in contact with devotional service, somehow, some way in a previous life, then in this life one is given all facility to obtain the perfection of devotional service, as Prahlad Maharaj is described by the Lord Himself as a perfect devotee. Perfection he had achieved. Because of what? Because Vasudeva Bhagavati, because his mind was constantly fixed upon the Supreme Lord Vasudev. And never for a moment did he display in his childhood and throughout his life any deviation. In fact, Hiranyakashipu even gave the example that any attempt I make to try to deviate my son's mind from Krishna, his mind reminds me like the tail of a dog. That when you try to straighten the tail of a dog, curved tail of the dog's tail will always go right back. So in the same way, Hiranyakashipu made so many attempts to deviate Prahlad's mind from his fixity upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But every attempt failed because Prahlad's mind could never be diverted from Krishna's lotus feet. And he's glorified for that example, as described in this verse, his transcendental qualities and his unflinching faith in Vasudev. He had so much faith that he was willing to undergo very difficult circumstances, to speak of preaching to an atheist, a powerful atheist like his father, but to speak of running the risk of preaching to his classmates, knowing very well that he will be taken to his father and potentially punished by him again. What to speak of Prahlad Maharaj in his description of his prayers to the Lord later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, his prayers praying to deliver all living beings and how he's feeling compassion for all them, and he doesn't even want liberation, that he is willing to take birth again and again and again simply to bring the conditioned souls to the lotus feet of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is always cited as an example, as a totally selfless devotee. And in his prayers to the Lord also, he said to the Lord, please don't try to offer me any benedictions. I'm not interested in any benedictions that you may offer. I did not render service to you for some profit. I am not a merchant. Our relationship always be that you are my master and I will be your servant. And that is my happiness, as long as that relationship is never in any way disrupted or disturbed. So these are examples which illustrate Prahlad Maharaj as the great devotee. But I wanted to read one reference, or a few references, because as we know, Prahlad Maharaj is very explicitly glorified in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He's glorified by Lord Shiva, who is speaking to Narada Muni. Lord Shiva glorified Prahlad Maharaj as a devotee superior to him. He even said to Narada Muni, actually, Prahlad is even superior to your father, to me, to Garuda, the residents of Vaikuntha, and even the goddess of fortune, Sri, who is always situated at the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Then Prahlad is even a greater bhakta. In fact, Narada Muni, he was having a conversation with Lord Shiva when he thought Lord Shiva was the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Lord Shiva denounced his position, and then Parvati began describing the glories and virtues of the goddess of fortune to Narada Muni. And after hearing all the glories of the goddess of fortune, Narada, in his traditional way of immediately vacating that place where his thoughts that he was facing the best devotee had been diffused by the devotee himself, he was going to onward to the next destination to see the goddess of fortune. And Lord Shiva stopped Narada and said, Narada, where are you going? You're going to Vaikuntha, but don't you know at this time the Lord of Vaikuntha is on the planet Earth with his goddess of fortune, Rukmini. They are both there. But let me tell you a secret. Come closer. And he whispered something into his ear. And the reason why he whispered into his ear, because he didn't want to upset Parvati. Because if Parvati heard what he was about to say, she may get disturbed. But what he was whispered in Narada Muni's ear is that there's even somebody better than the goddess of fortune. You don't have to go there. Why don't you immediately go to the planet Sutala? Because there you'll find a devotee who's even superior to your father, superior to me, superior to Garuda, and even superior to the goddess of fortune. But he didn't want to say that out loud because Parvati may have some objection, of course. And he was afraid of the potential repercussions that would come by the protests of Parvati, especially after she had spoken in a very convincing way to Narada Muni about the next person he should go to find the recipient. And Srila Sanatana Goswami goes on to explain how Prahlad Maharaj is great. And that is he says, surely you haven't forgotten the Supreme Lord's words about this. You must have read them in the Puranas and must remember the following verse. And then he quotes the following verse spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Naham atmanam ashase bad bhaktai sadhubhya vina shriyam atyantikam vapi yesham gatir aham para. Without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss or my supreme opulences. And he goes on to describe the position of Prahlad Maharaj, saying that among those countless devotees, Prahlad stands out as the example of perfection. The Lord himself has described him in this way: Prahlad's good fortune is inconceivable. But what I wanted to read is in one commentary where Srila Sanatana Goswami, because somebody might question, how is it that some newer devotee like Prahlad can actually be seen as being in a superior position as someone like the goddess of fortune? And Sanatana Goswami in his commentary to this verse, which describes how both Bali Maharaj and Banasura, Bali Maharaj being the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and Banasura being the great-grandson of Maharaj, they actually received the mercy of the Lord because of their being associated with Prahlad. And he was explaining that's how great Prahlad is. And Srila Sanatana Goswami says in his commentary, reason dictates that a newcomer to devotional service like Prahlad could not surpass the goddess Lakshmi, who eternally resides on the chest of Lord Narayan. Yet still Prahlad received special mercy from the Lord to put him in that unlikely standing. When Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu the boons that made him the scourge of the three worlds, the Supreme Lord was concerned that his devotees not have their confidence in devotional service weakened by seeing their enemy allowed to become so powerful. So in other words, Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu the boons, as we all know. We won't repeat the history and the power that Hiranyakashipu achieved as a result of those boons. So when Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu those boons, the Lord was concerned that his devotees shouldn't. He didn't want them to think that how could such a demon become so powerful? And he didn't want their faith weakened. So therefore, he actually wanted to establish the power of his devotee as being superior. So he said, to help dispel the Vaishnava's anxieties and doubts, Lord Nisringa, right after killing Hiranyakashipu, blessed Prahlad to become greater than all other devotees, past and present, including the residents of Vaikuntha, his personal attendants, and his beloved consort, Lakshmi. With this benediction in mind, Lord Shiva has said about Prahlad in text 75, "There is a greater recipient of Krishna's mercy," I've already quoted this, "greater than your father, me, other servants like Garuda, and even the goddess of fortune. His name is Prahlad. He is famous throughout the world as the dearmost devotee of Krishna." And in text 80, when the Lord tore apart Hiranyakashipu, "I, all the demigods, and the goddess Lakshmi witnessed with our own eyes the incomparable good fortune of Prahlad. Thus, by the Lord's sweet will, Prahlad became the greatest Vaishnava, which would otherwise have been impossible." Sometimes the personality of Godhead declares other recent devotees like Prahlad dearer to himself than Lord Sankarsana, Mahalakshmi, and other great personalities of the eternal kingdom of Vaikuntha. Sri Krishna tells Uddhava, "Na tata me priyatama atma yonir na shankara, na cha sankarsano na shir, naivatma cha yata bhavan." Neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarsana, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you. Lord Narayan similarly tells Durvasa Muni, "Naham atmanam asase, mad bhaktai sadubir vina, shriyam atyatikam vapi, yesham gatir aham para." Without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I am not attracted to my own self or to my supreme consort, the goddess Sri. And here, Sanatana Goswami gives the reason. Why is it that the Lord will state, openly declare, Prahlad's position as superior to Lord Sankarsan, to himself, to the goddess of fortune? One reason why the Supreme Lord speaks like this is that although his eternal associates, Sankarsana, Mahalakshmi, and so on, are ever established in unswerving devotion, they underwent no tribulations to gain it. Whereas his new devotees in the material world have sacrificed all comforts and security to gain pure devotional service. For the trouble such devotees have taken, Lord Krishna is especially grateful. Besides this, the Lord wants to encourage all his devotees to surrender themselves more fully. And to accomplish this, he emphatically praises devotees like Prahlad, who have taken great risks for his satisfaction. So here's the answer. Although the devotees are always fixed in unswerving devotional service in Vaikuntha, although the goddess of fortune is unswervingly fixed in devotional service to Lord Narayan, the Lord wants to put a special note, an emphasis. Like sometimes when you want to emphasize something, you in a sentence, you'll put it in quotes for emphasis. So the Lord put Prahlad in quotes as an emphasis, because he wanted to show, he wanted to illustrate. In fact, I think in that verse, it's elsewhere, it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that you are greater than Sankarsana, the goddess of fortune, even my own self. So in this commentary, Srila Sridhar Swami is quoted as saying that actually Lord Krishna, when he was speaking to Uddhava in his ecstasy, he used the word you, Uddhava. But actually he was referring to bhakta, devotees, all his devotees. And even elsewhere in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, other devotees were used as an example as being greater than even my own, Lord, as the Lord said, even my own self, greater than the goddess of fortune. And these devotees were specifically those devotees who had proved themselves to be unswervingly fixed in devotional service in the face of adversity. in the face of difficulties. And Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is always cited as the example of the devotee who would always remember the Supreme Lord in the face of any adversity. That's why we always speak of him in those terms of when he was punished by Hiranyakashipu, when he was put under the feet of the elephant, when he was poisoned, when he was attempted to be pierced by the demons. What did Prahlad do? When his father was about to kill him, what did Prahlad do? He never swerved from his remembrance of the Lord. When he was being fed poison, he just simply remembered the Lord and accepted it as being offered to the Lord and accepted it as prasadam, and he ate it. So, we know that Prabhupada, many times, he would quote these verses from the Bhagavatam, speaking about Prahlad. He said, Naidvod Vijay Paradurajya Vaitaranyas. He said, "O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them." And then the next verse, as we Prabhupada would oftentimes quote, "My dear Lord Nisringadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet." Krishna himself describes such devotees as Yaidam Paramam Guyama Bhakteshvat Bhajasati. For one who explains the secret of devotional service to others, for him, devotional service is guaranteed. At the end, he comes back to me. Nachatasman Manushi Shukasame Priyakritama. He says, "There's no servant who is more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear." The Lord puts such devotees in quotation marks and establishes them as being so dear to him because of the risks they have taken in delivering others and speaking the message of the personality of Godhead for the welfare of others. Therefore, the Lord specifically put Prahlad above all these other unswerving devotees to emphasize this point. So, and as Srila Sanatana Goswami goes on in his commentary, he says that for the trouble such devotees have taken, Lord Krishna is especially grateful. Besides this, the Lord wants to encourage all his devotees to surrender themselves more fully. And to accomplish this, emphatically praises devotees like Prahlad who have taken great risks for his satisfaction. This is, obviously, when we think of Prahlad Maharaj, we think of Srila Prabhupada and how Srila Prabhupada took so many risks in spreading Krishna consciousness, how Prabhupada took risks in crossing the ocean and undergoing so many physical difficulties, risking his own life for preaching Krishna consciousness. And there's so many stories. And I oftentimes think, and I know others do as well, that reason why Prabhupada quoted so many times Prahlad Maharaj and those verses of Prahlad Maharaj is that was Prabhupada's mood. You know, going to the cities or towns. And, you know, he didn't want it to be delivered unless those fools and rascals could be delivered before him. And he would pray in that way, as he prayed in the Jaladutta, in his prayers in the Jaladutta. He prayed, "Let them all be delivered. Only you can deliver them all. I cannot deliver them, but if you desire, you can deliver them. I wish that you may deliver them." And how will they be delivered? By hearing the message of Godhead, as spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvatasva Katakrishna, Punyashava Nikirtana. Prabhupada prayed in this way for the deliverance. And then what did he do? He underwent so many risks for preaching Krishna consciousness. We see that taking risks for satisfying the spiritual master and satisfying the Supreme Lord is a way to be recognized by the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, in his own words, explained that not by austerities, not by sacrifices, nor by chastity, nor by taking vows, not by becoming expert Brahmins or advanced in learning, or becoming advanced in knowledge, none of these things can capture the Lord's attention. The Lord is pleased only when one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. And without that sincere devotional service, everything else is simply a show. So, that was Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his classmates. He was telling his classmates, who were a little bit concerned, Prahlad, you know, should we be doing this? And Prahlad Maharaj expressed no fear at all, understanding that if he would speak the glories of the Lord to his classmates and his friend and display his own unflinching faith in the Lord, that ultimately the Lord would give him protection. And even though Sandana Marka caught them, and he was taken again to his father for preaching to his classmates, and then his father said, where have you got all of this information? Where have you heard about the enemy? And Prahlad, you know, very casually said, what was it? He quoted without getting the dust from the lotus feet of the devotee of the Lord, right? Nashamatistava the Rukramangrinsh Prishat Yanada Pagamo Yaratra Mahir Sampara Rajob Nishekam Nishkinchana Namna Vidinta Yavat. He said, unless one is actually smeared upon the body with the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that one will never be able to approach the Supreme Personality of God. Only by rendering service and approaching in this way can one become freed from all material contamination. And Prahlad Maharaj spoke many verses, popular verses, telling his father that I think, oh my father, oh best amongst the demons, I think you should give up your household activities which are like a well, and you have fallen into the deep dark well, and you should go to Vrindavan, and you should execute devotional service, and then there hear the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was infuriating his father with such statements. Infuriating him. Telling his father that he was in a deep dark well and that you should give it all up. Where have you heard these things? But Prahlad was, and I've been reading, and as you all know, because you saw the drama, Salted Bread, and I on the plane yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I was reading the early chapters of that book, describing the austerities the devotees had to undergo, you know, in being captured and being punished and being threatened and beaten, you know, by the KGB. You know, the story is known. It's been told and it's been shown, displayed. But obviously, that devotees who are willing to undergo such risk become for the Lord. Of course, that is the key. We were describing about the different types of bhakti or devotional service rendered. The Sarup Siddhi Bhakti is that devotional service which is rendered of the 9 processes of devotional service. And without motivation, we said there's kaitava and akaitava. There's one with some motivation and that without any motivation, without any material motivation. And the best service rendered without material motivation means for the pleasure of the Lord. So when a devotee is willingly accepting a difficult situation which may potentially cause either physical harm, emotional harm, or may even cause some, as Prabhupada even took such risk, and he was being asked by the disciples, isn't there a risk in accepting so many unqualified disciples? And Prabhupada said, yes, we are willing to take that risk, but it's the duty of the spiritual master to make his unqualified disciples qualified. It is a risk. But we are willing to take that risk. And when a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, if I don't go back home, back to Godhead in this life, will you come back and get me? Prabhupada said, yes, but don't take advantage of your spiritual master. Don't make him come back. But Prabhupada, nonetheless, was still willing to take that risk. And for no other reason than for the pleasure of the Lord. So such devotees stand out. They are put in quotation marks amongst even the ever liberated, the eternally liberated devotees. And we see in the prayers, especially in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya during his Mahaprakash Lila, when he is glorifying his devotees who had undergone great tribulation, like Haridas Thakur, when he was beaten through 22 marketplaces, and how the Lord, you know, blessed Haridas and protected Haridas. He said, because you were willing to accept such infliction of punishment on my account. He said, you were willing to undergo that. He said, and he also, because you were so merciful that you were thinking that of their deliverance, that when I came down to kill those two guards who were beating you, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because you wanted their deliverance and I came to kill them. I came to sever their heads from their body. So because of you undergoing such difficulty, and what was Haridas Thakur's conviction? He told, you know, the Qazi, you can cut my body into hundreds and thousands of pieces, but I will never give up the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And he demonstrated that while being beaten in marketplace after marketplace. And the Lord told Haridas in the Mahaprakash Lila, he said, because you desired their welfare, I couldn't kill them. So therefore, I had to accept those blows. And I got on your back and accepted myself. And then, of course, Haridas Thakur began offering such beautiful prayers. How is it that I, you know, can remember you? And become so happy by seeing you. I think he even used Prahlad Maharaj as an example, who would never give up chanting the holy name of the Lord in the face of adversity. So, this is the example which Srila Sanatana Goswami, here we see in this verse that Prahlad, this verse, excuse me, in the Bhagavatam, that Prahlad was recognized and his qualities were emulated and were recognized by the Lord Himself because of the his fixity on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vasudev. And because he was always fixed upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vasudev and always took shelter in the Lord, therefore the Lord always gave him protection under all circumstances and appeared himself as Lord Nrisimhadev to protect his devotee Prahlad. And as Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates in his commentary, which we just read from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that is an example for us as well, how we should try to become more complete in our surrender to the Lord, and to surrender ourselves more fully in our service, and being able to remember the Lord and being willing to take risks for the satisfaction of the Lord, even at the risk of our own bodily inconvenience, even at the risk of potential suffering. The devotee who has firm faith knows that under all circumstances he will be protected by the Lord, even if he loses his life. That is still, we know, the Lord's protection is always there. As the Lord will always protect a devotee, as he demonstrated with respect to Maharaj Ambarish, and how the Lord entered into the heart of Maharaj Ambarish, and how the Lord came forward and protected Maharaj Ambarish from Durvasa Muni, And Maharaj Ambarish was fully protected by the Lord because the Lord was always within his heart. And he said, I am always situated within the heart of such devotees. What to speak of my devotees, even those who are servants of my devotees are very dear to me. And therefore he told Devarasa Muni, I cannot act independently. You are coming to me for protection. But my devotees, they control me because they have no other desire within their heart than to please me. There is no desire for fruitive activity within their heart. Therefore, I always sit within their hearts. And they serve me within their hearts. And as the example which is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that when Durvasa Muni objected, it said, how can we accept that you are not independent from... That you are the Supreme Lord. How can you say you're not independent? And the Lord said, it is my nature to be dependent upon my devotee. And then when Durvasa Muni said, certainly when you see a person suffering, you must be thinking of his suffering and you want to relieve him from that suffering. And the Lord told Durvasa Muni, he said, no, I can't even think of your suffering. I don't even belong to myself. I don't even have a mind to think of your suffering. I don't have a heart. So how can I think of your suffering? I don't have either of these things. And he explained that the reason why I can't think of your suffering and I can't relieve you from your suffering is because my devotee Ambarish Maharaj, he has taken me within his heart because he didn't want anything else from me. I tried to offer him some benedictions. But he would not be interested in wealth. He would not be interested in a big position. He would not be interested in any of these material things. Just like Prahlad Maharaj said the same way. What can I give him that's of any value? Maharaj Ambarish didn't want anything of any material value. He only wanted to remember me. That's all he wanted. So I was so indebted to him, I offered to him, please let me give you something. And Ambarish Maharaj said, no, I don't want anything. So what happens when the Lord keeps on insisting to his devotee, please let me give you something, and the devotee keeps on saying, no, I don't want anything. The Lord is grateful. And the Lord, out of his gratitude, how can he not give something to his devotee? He's always grateful to the devotee who makes such sacrifices to him. So what can the Lord give that will be valuable to the devotee? He gives his heart. There's nothing more valuable. So he told Durvasa Muni, you're coming to me and you want my heart. You want my heart to spill blood because of your suffering, but I don't even have one. It's over there. Maharaj Ambarish has it. So if you want my heart, you have to go to him. And then you'll see. His heart will bleed because he has my heart in his heart. And he will relieve you from your suffering. But I can't. I'm not independent. That's how dear a devotee is. That's how he controls the Lord. By his willingness to please the Lord and to make all sacrifice to the Lord gives him the greatest wealth, the greatest possession. What could be greater than to have the Lord in one's heart? He's captured me. We see so many times the Lord gives the example to Haridas Thakur. He says, you have purchased me in your heart and you've made me prisoner in your heart. I can't get out. I'm prisoner in your heart. As much as I try to get released, I can't get released. You've captured me and held me as a prisoner. These examples illustrate how dear such devotees who take risks for the Lord can become to the Lord. And therefore, the Lord says that such exceptional devotees, even though they are new in line to the goddess of fortune, they're more recent, still the Lord wants to put them in quote and emphasize them to show, to illustrate what risks they underwent and the difficulties they underwent to achieve their pure and exalted position. He wants to point that out, their exceptions, that what they had to undergo. Of course, he even did that with the gopis. He pointed out their exceptional devotional service and the risks they had to take by risking being caught by family, by risking breaking the principles of Vedic culture, risking responding to the sound of the flute. But the Lord, in the case of the gopis, the Lord couldn't even repay them. So he had to come back as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to repay that debt that he had to the gopis. Because he said, for you, you've risked everything for me. Therefore he made the gopis, knowledge of the gopis and the sacrifice of the gopis known to the entire three worlds. Known by coming as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the element, the exceptional element which makes the devotee recognize this is willingness to accept risks for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And how accepting such risks with that motive in one's heart, the Lord becomes very pleased and gives his heart to that devotee. As the Lord himself says, he is most dear to me. How can one become most dear? By spreading the message of Krishna consciousness and becoming dear to Srila Prabhupada and all the predecessor acharyas and ultimately to the Supreme Lord himself. This is I lost my place. But these are the exceptional qualities that Prahlad Maharaj is being recognized for in today's verse. As said by Narada Muni, too innumerable to list. So if they're too innumerable to list, how could I in such a short period of time and with such a shortness of memory be able to enumerate all of Prahlad Maharaj's qualities? We can only capture a few in this short period of time. If Narada himself says they're too numerable to list, we've just simply scratched the surface in this attempt to glorify Prahlad as the greatest devotee of the Supreme Lord and this one the Lord himself made recognized in that position. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? How is it that Prahlad Maharaj blessed Bali Maharaj to fight with Indra? Well, as we know, the demigods and demons, you know, their position and their planets are temporary. The demons didn't continue to occupy. They were removed. And it all laid the foundation for the Lord appearing as Lord Vamanadev. So we can understand that it was simply to fulfill a higher purpose and to lay the foundation for the appearance of Lord Vamanadev to take back the heavenly planets and to return them to the demigods. Yes.
Mara.
It's working.
Maharaj.
Maharaj, thank you for a very inspiring class. While I may accept my devotional service without any expectation of the Lord's mercy, nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada seems to indicate that because of this tribulation, there is a fact. So,
There is a verse, Atapite Deva Padambajam Jayat Prasadali Sanagrahita Devahi. Unless one gets a drop of mercy from the lotus feet of Krishna, that one can never understand the greatness of his personality. And I think that even if one studies the Vedas for many births, still he will never be able to understand the position of the Lord. So we know that to get the Lord's mercy directly is very difficult, although he's very merciful, especially in this age of Kali. Kali, Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hai Sava Jagat Nishtara. In the age of Kali, the Lord is incarnated in His holy name, and anyone who associates with the holy name of the Lord is as good as associating with the Lord directly, and certainly he can become delivered. So we know that one way that one can get the direct mercy of the Lord is through His holy name. The holy name is very merciful, and it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami that the holy name of that although the holy name and the form of the deity and Krishna, his form, is they are non-different, still there is a slight difference in that if one offends the deity of the Lord, there is no means for rectification except to take shelter of the holy name. So in this way, the holy name is even more merciful than Krishna. It's the slight difference. So we understand that the holy name is Lord Chaitanya coming to give us that holy name is our access to obtaining mercy. And then by associating with the holy name, we can get a glimpse of that mercy as we associate with the desire to become freed from offenses. But not only by associating with the name, but by serving the devotee who is most merciful, who is spreading the glories of the holy name. So we understand we get mercy both from the holy name himself and by serving the distributor of the holy name of the Lord. And one has to be very patient in obtaining this mercy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Sri Bhakti Loka, where he describes the characteristics of patience, which was given by Rupa Goswami as one of the qualities that were required for getting devotional service. He says that a devotee must always expect that he will get Krishna's mercy, the sadhaka. He says everybody wants to get some result. He says the karmis, they want some result for their activity, they want fruit of activities. The jnanis, they want some result. The result that the jnanis want, they want liberation. And the bhaktas, the result they want the Lord's pleasure and the mercy of the Lord. So the devotee should always expect that he will get the mercy of the Lord. But patience means that whether now, whether 1 year from now, whether it will be 10 years from now, 100 years from now, or even 100 lifetimes from now, he must be convinced that I will get Krishna's mercy and go on executing devotional service. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, sometimes we see sadhakas give up their sadhana because they don't have this patience. So he said, real patience means that this is how a devotee must be convinced, that someday I will get Krishna's mercy. When a devotee becomes so convinced, then as we see as an example, look what happened to Mukunda Dutt when Lord Chaitanya did not allow him to come from behind the curtain. All the devotees were coming one by one to get their benedictions. The Lord was calling them. And the Lord would tell them about their association in a previous life and ask for some boon. And the Lord would give boons. And the whole time Mukunda Dutt was standing behind the curtain. And he asked, I think, Srivas. He said, please, Srivas began speaking to the Lord and saying, why are you neglecting your devotee Mukunda? What is it that he's done? And then Lord Chaitanya began describing, well, that Mukunda, he's a rascal. Don't you know that when he's with devotees, he appears to be very devotional, but also we know He carries an iron mace in one hand, and in the other hand he carries a lotus. And an iron mace, he is beating me because of his association with the Mayavads, the impersonalists. He becomes just like them. He said, I was not interested in seeing Mukunda. And he's heavily chastising. Mukunda was thinking, if I never see the Lord, then why? What is the purpose of living? And then he asked, Srivas, please ask the Lord, when will I see him again? And the Lord said, he will not see me again for 10 million births. But upon hearing these words, he had so much faith in the words of the Lord. When he heard, he will see me again, that's all he heard. 10 million births were irrelevant. He had so much faith in the Lord's mercy. He began dancing. He had that much conviction. He began dancing in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, understanding Mukunda's faith, he told the devotees, bring him here. But Mukunda was just so much absorbed in dancing in ecstasy, they couldn't even get his attention. They had to pick him up and carry him and bring him before the Lord. And that 10 million births was reduced to a moment. He got the Lord's mercy immediately. Immediately, because of that deep faith and conviction in the Lord's mercy and in the Lord's words. So, my understanding is that it's that deep conviction, that deep faith in the words of the Lord and in the words of the spiritual master who is distributing the holy name of the Lord, the most merciful incarnation of the Lord in this age of Kali is his holy name. And by that deep faith and conviction that a devotee can actually become a candidate for the Lord's mercy. And if we were patient enough and convinced enough, one day it will come. And does that answer your question? The extent of the Lord's mercy? Well, the extent of Lord Chaitanya's mercy is Yuga Dharma Pravatainu Nama Sankirtan Chavi Bhavi Bhaktadiya Nachamu Bhavan. He says, I will come and I will inaugurate the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. I will make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four ecstatic mellows of loving devotional service to me. The extent of Lord Chaitanya's mercy is that one will actually achieve a position of a resident in Goloka Vrindavan and establish one of these relationships with the Supreme Lord. That's the extent of Lord Chaitanya's mercy in this age of Kali. And as far as I understand, there's no greater mercy. If you read Bihad Bhagavatamrita and you see the love and affection and the mercy that the Lord has upon the residents of Vrindavan, they were the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. They were the greatest recipients. It was spoken by the Lord himself. He confirmed it. There was nobody great. He was willing to sacrifice anything. He would give up. He would renounce even the queens of Dwarka. He would renounce everyone for those devotees in Braj. He said it with his own mouth. They're so dear to him because they've captured him. So Narada and everyone else realized that there's no greater recipients of Krishna's mercy than the residents of Braj, what to speak of course, the gopis, which the Lord himself also declared, those gopis, they are the greatest. So the extent of that mercy is described by Srila Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It means the highest position. Gopi Bharta Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anadasa, actually to become a resident of Goloka Vrindavan and to be able to assist the gopis in their service of the divine couple. That's well, I've worn out both needs. But you have a tongue. And I recently just had a phone conversation with a disciple of mine who's in Mayapur, and she's paraplegic. So, and she was in a car accident, and she's offered times, she's asked me, how can I serve you? I cannot even dance. So I tell her, just dance in your heart. If you dance in your heart and chant the holy names of the Lord is Bhava Grahi. He knows how to accept the essence of the Lord, of the devotee's devotional service. Okay. So I think we can end here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.